Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What's it like in the kingdom of heaven? Christ's kingdom, the one that is not of this world, yet very much present in it. What's it like in the kingdom of heaven? Christ's kingdom that is here in part, and yet still to come in its fullness. What's it like in the kingdom of heaven, and what makes it so different from a worldly kingdom? Today, Jesus tells us that that difference might very well be in debt management. Debt is a regular part of life in a worldly kingdom. Whether we need a house or a car or a way to pay for food or a way to go to school or a way to pay for food while going to school, debt is the way. Do we have to pay for it? We have to work to pay it off. As that old rhyme goes, there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay. We got mouths to feed. And ain't nothing in this world come for free. That debt has to be repaid, either by you or your descendants or someone in a different tax bracket. But that debt has to be repaid. Debt is not forgiven in a worldly kingdom. Money makes the world go round, as they say. But that's not how debt works in the kingdom of heaven. Debt is still a regular part of life in that kingdom of heaven, whether we've ignored the needs of our neighbor or actively wronged them, we still rack up a sin debt that comes our way. And oh, how blessed we are that God does not require us to work to pay it back. Instead, he bids us to pray as we do in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses. Or as some translations say, forgive us our debts. And God is faithful. He forgives our debts. He wiped them out when Jesus died on the cross, spreading his blood for our sake, on our descendants, and on all the world. Debt is forgiven in the kingdom of heaven. Forgiveness makes the world go round, as Jesus would say. In today's gospel reading, Peter was starting to understand what things were like in the kingdom of heaven. He understood that forgiveness was part of the picture, but he didn't quite understand how all the pieces would fit together. Where were the limits to this forgiveness? What exactly was the kingdom of heaven like? And so he asked Jesus, Lord, what's it like in the kingdom of heaven? Only not in so many words. His actual words were, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Peter's on the right track. Jesus doesn't have to say, get behind me, Satan, this time. And the basic idea sounds fair. Forgiving someone 7 times for the same sin? I mean, most of us would say that that's more than fair. If anything, that's generous. And yet Jesus ups the ante. I say to you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Now, translating Greek to English is tricky, especially with numbers. Some translations will say 77 times. Some will say 70 times 7, which works out to 490. I did the math. But the point is the same either way. You are called to forgive. You are called to forgive all the time, to forgive without ceasing, to forgive without any care for how great that sin debt is. You are called to forgive, period, because you have been forgiven. And just in case Peter didn't quite get that point, Jesus tells a parable to drive it home. And in this parable, a servant who owes 6,000 drachmas, which is the equivalent of about 60 million days worth of labor, is forgiven for his debt. His master has compassion upon him. And the servant was forgiven his unpayable, unimaginable, truly unquantifiable debt. And one would think that this servant, of course, would have a new appreciation for forgiveness and go out into the world living that new life of forgiveness. But of course, we know the story. We know what happens next. He turns right around to his fellow servant who owes him 100 denarii, which is the equivalent of about $10,000 today. Not insignificant, but still absolutely nothing compared to the debt that he owed. And he grabs him by the throat, demands his money back, throws him to the ground, has him thrown in jail. And of course, when the master finds out, he has that wicked servant thrown into jail. And then Jesus ends his parable with words that should give every one of us pause and take a good long look in the mirror. Jesus says, "So also will my heavenly Father deal with each of you if you do not forgive your brothers from your heart." This is the gospel of our Lord. That doesn't sound like gospel. If anything, that sounds like a threat. Yet there's the truth standing there. We can't change it. Refuse to forgive, and you place yourself outside the kingdom. Refuse to forgive, and you face self-imposed death, hell, and damnation. Jesus could not be any more clear about it. Forgiveness is the way of the kingdom of heaven, and there is no other way. How often do we hold grudges? How often do we withhold forgiveness? How often have we held on to a debt and placed ourselves outside the kingdom? How often do we forget what it's like in the kingdom of heaven? Peter wanted to know, what's it like in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus had already explained to him that the kingdom of heaven was all about forgiveness. Jesus had already explained to him that he had come to bring God's forgiveness to the entire world. Peter wanted to know what it's like in the kingdom of heaven. Peter should have known, but he didn't, and he wouldn't. Not yet, anyway. Peter wouldn't understand when his Lord was taken away. Peter wouldn't understand when his Lord was hung upon the cross and crucified. Peter wouldn't even understand 3 days later when he stood outside of his Lord's empty tomb. Peter didn't understand until about the end of Matthew's gospel, when all the disciples are gathered together out of fear, and Jesus appeared to them, and he said, "Peace." And then Jesus sent them into the world on his mission. He sent them to forgive others' sins. And then, not long after that, he turned to Peter and he said, "Feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. Feed my sheep." And then Peter understood. Peter understood that his mission was to go remind those sheep and those lambs who had been holding grudges and withholding forgiveness and holding on to debts and placing themselves outside of the kingdom. His mission was to remind them of where they belonged. His mission was to remind them of what it's like in that kingdom of heaven. Brothers and sisters, we share that mission today. Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross, forgave all the sins of the entire world, even our failure to forgive. That's something that Peter needed to be reminded of. That's something that we need to be reminded of constantly. This is why it is good that you are here today. What's it like in the kingdom of heaven? It's like remembering your baptism when your sins were washed away. What's it like in the kingdom of heaven? It's like receiving the Lord's body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. What's it like in the kingdom of heaven? It's going to private confession and absolution and hearing the pastor pronounce God's forgiveness just for you. What's it like in the kingdom of heaven? It's forgiving as you have been forgiven. Christ forgives undeserving debtors in his kingdom, and he empowers us to go out into the world and do the same. This is such good news that it ought to be shared. We ought to be excited for this. In fact, we ought to have a whole day to just rally around it. You see what the vicar did there. This is rally day. This is a great day to celebrate the good news that Jesus Christ forgives us and sends us out into the world to do the same. We ought to do as the psalmist says. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among the people. Amen. And I can't think of any better way to end our sermons for this coming year. And in fact, for this one time, I'll invite you to say it with me. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among the people. Amen.